This is Ham College, episode 122, for March 7th, 2025. Ham College is brought to you by ICOM. Combining cutting-edge technology, unmatched reliability, and user-friendly design, ICOM's amateur radios are the gold standard for ham radio enthusiasts. Good evening and welcome to another action-packed episode of Ham College. I'm Professor Thomas.
And I'm Dean Martin.
And we'll see how action-packed it is. It may be a buzzer, may not be.
Yeah, we never can tell. It likely could be.
Tommy commented earlier he's got on his Heil Sound shirt tonight. And I said I do too, because this is the kind of shirt I think Bob had one almost just like this. But, yeah, thinking about him often.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of folks in the chat room over there that have become familiar. I won't say faces because most of them won't post their face in our chat room. But they got their names in there and recognize them all now because... good little community in there. And we'll be asking them questions tonight and see what answers they've got. I'll be asking Tommy a few, and he'll reciprocate.
Yep. If you're watching the live stream, join us in the chat. It's the YouTube chat right there beside mm-hmm. the YouTube feed. So you do have to, if you want to post, you do have to subscribe to the show. You don't get anything from it, no spam or anything, but it is required to post in there. That's why we keep some of the spam out of the chat room.
What did we talk about in the last exciting episode of Ham College?
Let me think. Seems like we might have talked about VHF, UHF operating practices. You know, like FM repeaters, simplex reverse splits. Yeah. Access tones, CTCSS, DTMF, DMR operation, resolving operational problems, and maybe a little cue signal stuff there in there for good measure.
Okay. That does sound like what we talked about.
Something similar. Yeah. That's pretty close.
This month we're going to talk about public service, emergency operations, applicability of FCC rules, RACES and ARIES, net and traffic procedures, operating restrictions during emergencies, and the use of phonetics and message handling.
Are they applicable if you have a hard time saying applicability?
Maybe.
I can't believe I actually said it. I thought it was going to
I can't either. Yeah. You did it. I mean, you knocked it out of the park. Wait a minute. I said that. No, you said it too.
Yeah.
That's go ahead. You've got a special subject that's near and dear to your heart tonight, don't you?
Yeah, for calling for help.
Calling for help.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the history of SOS tonight, since we're talking about nets and things like that later.
Yeah, so, okay.
Anyway, so let's go ahead and get into it. SOS became the worldwide standard distress signal on 1st of July of 1908. Having first been adopted by the German government 3 years earlier. This string of characters is so well known that almost anyone that sees or hears them is well aware that it represents a call for help.
What does that exactly sound like, Tommy?
Well, it sounds a lot like... sounds similar to that.
You got a mean fist there.
Do I?
That's right. Isn't that what they call it?
So, if you don't know Morse code, you're lying, because you really, everybody knows that much Morse code.
Yeah, I got some click in my key there. You might.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not on a radio either. I'm on a.
I'm on
an audio oscillator.
You sure are. You should see the contraption back here.
Yeah, we won't go into that.
Okay.
All right. So you were talking about SOS.
I was. SOS even made it into several songs over the years.
The one that comes to mind is from is from ABBA, and I won't. I'll spare you by not playing a clip from that.
Thank you.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
When I saw that, man, that's all I could hear is that clip in my head, and I still can't get rid of it.
Oh man.
Not quite as well known as the code CQD, which was used before SOS. CQDs derived from the CQ call that most of us hams are pretty familiar with. CQD is said to mean CQ plus distress, or all stations distress. Various theories are around regarding the meaning of SOS, with suggestions that it stands for Save Our Ship, Save Our Souls, as well as several other interpretations. The truth is, SOS doesn't stand for anything. It was chosen because it's easily transmitted using Morse code, an alphabet name for its inventor, Samuel Morse, which in letters represented by combinations of long and short light or sound signals. SOS is transmitted as...
Yeah. Well, here, I'll turn that back
turn it,
on.
Turn it back on.
Okay.
Dot,
we'll
dot, dot,
it.
Dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. The first recorded use of CQD was by an American ship, or the first recorded use of it by an American ship, rather, was in 1908 by the steamer Santa Rosa off the coast of California. The first recorded American use of SOS was in August of 1909 by the SS Arapaho, who radioed for help when his ship lost its screw near Diamond Shoals. The call was heard by the United Wireless Station, HA, or at Hatteras, North Carolina.
Wow. That's interesting stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting when I started looking that stuff up.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. Except that song part.
Yeah, that just kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah. My dad used to listen to that stuff when I was a kid. Man, I was kind of
that explains a lot.
Kind of captive, and forced to listen to it. It's parents could go to jail for treating their kids like that nowadays.
I think so, yeah.
I should.
There should be some kind of rule against it.
Okay, but anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting stuff.
That was kind of interesting, SOS. Yeah, everybody pretty much knows that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, everybody knows at least those characters.
At least those.
Yeah, and the CQD thing I thought was interesting. I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah.
When I looked this up, I kind of had it in my mind. It was kind of a rough day this week, so I ran around thinking CQD at work a lot this week.
Really?
Because I was in distress.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway.
You were in this dress.
Moving right along. Okay.
Okay. When do FCC rules not apply to the operation of an amateur station? A. When operating a RACI station.
B. When operating under special FEMA rules.
C. When operating under special ARES rules.
Or D. FCC rules always apply. When do FCC rules not apply to the operation of an amateur station? A. When operating RACI station. No, I'm sure they apply there. B, when operating under special FEMA rules, still got to follow the FCC rules. When operating under special ARES rules, that's still kind of governed under the FCC, so I'm going to go with D. FCC rules always apply.
I'm going to agree with you. Everyone in the chat room says that. I was going to say even Nigel, and he's in the UK, but he is a licensed
U.S.
U.S. amateur as well.
Yep.
So yeah, he would know that rule.
Yep.
There you go.
He scores.
I would give you a fist bump on that, but that's just like a freebie there, you know.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them the last couple months actually have been like pretty easy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see how the rest of it goes. Yeah.
There's a couple of others in here might be a little tougher. We'll see.
All right, I got one for you. Which of the following are typical duties of a net control station? A, choose a regular net meeting time and frequency.
B, ensure that all stations checking into the net are properly licensed for operation on the net frequency.
C, call the net to order and direct communications between stations checking in.
Or D, all of these choices are correct. Which of the following are typical duties of a net control station? A, choose the regular net meeting time and frequency. Nah, that's probably already been set. It's probably on a regular schedule. B, ensure that all stations checking in the net are properly licensed for operating on the net frequency. No, you're not the police. So, I know the first two are wrong, so it can't be D. That only leaves C, call the net to order and direct communications between stations checking in. C.
Gotta be.
Chat room saying C. You're saying
I'd
C.
I'd say C.
And it is.
I see.
Because if you listen to a net, the first thing that happens is the net control operator or net control station or whatever you want to call them is going to basically do a preamble or just identify the net, maybe say what the purpose of it is, and then call on people, call for check-ins and then call for each person in order so that things run smoothly. What technique is used to ensure that voice messages containing unusual words are received correctly? A, send the words by voice and Morse code.
B, speak very loudly into the microphone.
C, spell the words using a standard phonetic alphabet.
Or D, all these choices are correct. Send the words by voice and Morse code. I know that is not it, because I don't remember Morse code, and I've never been good at sending it. Speak very loudly into the microphone. Well, that's probably not a bad idea. That's not the answer either. C, spell the words using standard phonetic alphabet. That's going to be the answer right there. C, Charlie. Spell all the words using the standard phonetic alphabet. I do that on the telephone. I do that everywhere. If it's a word that's not clear, I do that all the time.
So you're saying speak loudly into the microphone doesn't help?
Probably not.
Everybody's saying, see, that's, if you're a ham or if you've vaguely even looked into becoming a ham, you probably know that. What is the phonetic alphabet? First, let's see if that's the correct answer. It is.
I'll get one on that one, huh?
Yep. Now you get to explain what it is.
Well, it's a word that clearly corresponds to the letter. And that's the standard phonetic alphabet right there, although people sometimes do variations of it. But the word Charlie, you know good and well, that's starting with a C.
Mm-hmm.
Quebec, that starts with a Q. Unless your spelling's really bad.
What would your call sign be phonetically?
November 5, Zulu, November, Oscar.
Okay. Mine, Whiskey 5, Juliet, Delta, X-Ray. But occasionally people will use unfamiliar words or unfamiliar phonetic alphabet, but you can usually figure it out. I will sometimes use Whiskey 5, Jack Daniels, X-Ray, and you'll get JDX out of that.
Yeah.
It's pretty common to have people make up their own special phonetic alphabet.
Yeah, but this is the standard, though, so that's what's on your test.
But
you will hear variations of it for sure.
Yeah.
What is RACES? A, an emergency organization combining amateur radio and citizens band operators and frequencies.
B, an international radio experimentation society.
C, a radio contest held in a short period, sometimes called a sprint.
Or D, an FCC Part 97 amateur radio service for civil defense communications during national emergencies. What is RACES? R-A-C-E-S. A, an emergency organization combining amateur radio and citizen band operators and frequencies. No. Amateur radio and citizen band operators, they're not in the same organizations. They're not coordinating or doing emergency communications together, at least not normally. I mean, it might happen somewhere, but that's not what RACES is.
No.
B, an International Radio Experimentation Society.
Well, that sounds like fun. It's probably not it.
That's not it. C, a radio contest held in a short period, sometimes called a sprint. Well, I mean, yeah, if you were thinking about races, I could see where you might say sprint and races, but that's not what it is.
First thing that went to my mind when I saw sprint was agile programming, agile development. We do sprints at work.
I was thinking about telephones.
Sprint is there?
Yeah. D, an FCC Part 97 amateur radio service for civil defense communications during national emergencies. I think that's the answer. I think it's D.
Gotta be it.
Chat room saying that. Even Dean Martin saying that. It's gotta be.
Here, I'll give it up.
Okay. RACES is Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service. That's what it stands for. Which I wrote it down because I just know the term RACES. I don't really.
Yeah.
Don't really think
I
about
I
it.
I used to know what it meant, but I didn't remember it. I'm glad you wrote it down.
Yeah. Me too. What does the term traffic refer to in net operation? A, messages exchanged by net stations.
B, the number of stations checking in and out of a net.
C, operations by mobile or portable stations.
Or D, requests to activate the net by a served agency. What does the term traffic refer to in net operation? A, messages exchanged by net stations. That sounds like that could be onto something there. B, the number of stations checking in and out. I mean, I guess you could think that might be traffic, but that's not it, I'm sure. Operation by mobile or portable? No. I'm going with A, messages exchanged by net stations.
Yeah.
Messages are typically considered traffic.
That's what all the cool folks in the chat room are saying.
A.
Messages exchanged by net stations, you know. And because you said that, hey, I see commercials with the Fonz in it for eye disorders, usually, or different things. I just, he don't look like or act like the same guy with the leather jacket anymore. He was cool back then, but
yeah,
I don't know. Something's lost in the translation there.
It was definitely an act.
Yeah. What do you say we take a break? Come right back and just
give away something.
You know, in case there's somebody in the audience who doesn't have a shirt already.
You're shirtless.
Yep.
Yeah, we can hook you up.
Combining cutting-edge technology, unmatched reliability, and user-friendly design, ICOM's amateur radios are the gold standard for ham radio enthusiasts. Whether you're chasing DX, experimenting with digital modes, or leading a local net, ICOM radios deliver crystal-clear performance and seamless connectivity. With a legacy of innovation and commitment to quality, ICOM continues to set the benchmark for amateur radio excellence, making them the trusted choice for operators worldwide. Introducing ICOM's IC7760, the pinnacle of base station excellence for amateur radio enthusiasts. Designed to deliver unmatched performance, the IC7760 features state-of-the-art technology, exceptional RF clarity, and an intuitive interface. all housed in a sleek and durable design. The base station features a separate remote control head and RF deck, providing excellent flexibility for installation. Place the RF deck closer to the antenna feed point, freeing up space on your desk. You can also connect the control head to the RF deck through your home network, enabling remote operation from anywhere in your home without need for a PC. Pair the IC7760 with the powerful ICPW2 linear amplifier and take your contesting experience to the next level. The ICPW2 seamlessly integrates with the IC7760, delivering a massive power boost and enabling enhanced long-distance communications with DPD, digital predistortion, and a built-in 2x6 automatic antenna selector for SO2R single-operator 2 radios. Together, they define what's possible in amateur radio, setting a new standard for global connectivity and reliability. For more information about all of ICOM's great amateur radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur.
Wow, a shirt.
Nice ham crew t-shirt. What's the usual line? I'm not going to say it this time.
All right. You'll look as good when you leave the ham fest as you did when you got there.
Yeah, that's the line. Mm-hmm. And it's true. Next ham fest, I'm going to prove it.
Okay.
I'm going to wear mine to the next ham fest. I almost wore it to the last one, to Jackson Ham Fest, but I wore my amateur logic swag.
Yeah.
But how do you win one of these?
Well, you know, if you'd like to win one of those, there is a very, very easy way to do that.
Tell me about it. I'd like win one.
Well, first, it's going to get dark right here behind us for a brief second.
Oh, that's daylight savings time.
That was it, right there, in the blink of an eye. Well, if you'd like to win one of those, and everyone over in the chat room and everyone watching the show right here should do this, because it doesn't cost you anything. We don't harvest the email addresses. We just use them for the drawing and then delete all the emails. Just send an email to hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv. And
what should be in that email?
Well, you need a name and you need an email address.
That's all?
Yeah.
Do I need to be a ham?
You don't need to be a ham. As a matter of fact, the questions we're studying right now are for those who are not hams yet.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, yeah, you don't have to be a ham to participate in the contest. Yeah. All you got to do is send an email to hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv. You can put a little message in there if you want.
Yeah, we like reading them.
And we just pick a random winner for each episode. And we just happen to have one right here. And that random winner is John Coomber, KB7TU. And he said, please enter me in the drawing, 7-3.
And we did, and you won.
And you see how easy that was.
No fuss, no muss.
Yep. And we're going to delete the email just right after when the show's over.
After you keep his email address long enough to get his shirt sent to him.
Well, yeah. We do have to do that. So, John, ICOM will be in touch with you to get the details, what size of shirt you want. They'll stuff a little more stuff in the goodie box there.
Yeah, so congratulations.
Yeah.
Now's the time. If you're watching, go ahead and send your entry in for next month. The queue's cleared out, so we start over fresh every time. What is the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, ARES? A, a group of licensed amateurs who have voluntarily registered their qualifications and equipment for communication duty in the public service.
B, a group of licensed amateurs who are members of the military and who voluntarily agree to provide message handling services in the case of an emergency.
C, a training program that provides licensing courses for those interested in obtaining an amateur license to use during emergencies.
Or D, a training program that certifies amateur operators for membership in the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service. What is the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, ARES? Let's look at D there. Is it a training program that certifies amateur operators for membership in the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service? Sounds like a possible answer. Well, let's look at the others. C, a training program that provides licensing courses for those interested in obtaining an amateur license to use during emergencies. I know that's not it. B, a group of licensed amateurs who are members of the military and who voluntarily agree. Now, you don't have to be a member of the military to join ARES. A, a group of licensed amateurs who voluntarily register their qualifications and equipment for communications duty in the public service. I'm going to say it's A.
I concur.
A group of licensed amateurs who voluntarily register their qualifications and equipment for communication duty in the public service. Well, what are they saying in the chat room? They're saying A. All right, I feel a little better now. Here.
Here, I'll give you that.
Okay. I had to think about that one, because yeah, the last answer sounds...
Yeah, except that's racist. Racist, however you want to pronounce it.
Okay. Yeah, shouldn't... no competition there.
Two different things.
Yep.
They're somewhat similar, but they're different.
Yep. That was one of those trick answers.
Yep.
Which of the following is standard practice when you participate in a net? A, when first responding to the net control station, transmit your call sign, name, and address, as in the FCC database.
B, record the time of each of your transmissions.
C, unless you are reporting an emergency, transmit only when directed by the net control station.
Or D, all these choices are correct. Which of the following is standard practice when you participate in a net? A, when first responding to the net control station, transmit your call sign, name, address as in the FCC database. You don't really have to do that. Record the time of your transmissions. It's not a bad idea to put your stuff in your logbook, but you don't. That's not part of the net. See, unless you're reporting an emergency, transmit only when directed by the net control station. There you go. That's got to be it. It's not going to be D. It's going to be C. Unless you're reporting an emergency, transmit only when directed by the net control station. So wait your turn. Yeah, so things are all orderly. So, yep, that's what I'm going with. See, okay. Charlie.
Well, we got some mixed answers in there. Most are saying it. C. I'm going to agree with you.
I've never heard anybody transmit their address when they're checking in with the net.
No.
It's not. That's why I don't think it's A. There we go.
It is C. There you go. All right.
Which of the following is a characteristic of good traffic handling? A, passing messages exactly as received.
B, making decisions as to whether messages are worthy of relay or delivery.
C, ensuring that any newsworthy messages are relayed to the news media.
Or D, all of these choices are correct. Which of the following is a characteristic of good traffic handling? Well, it's not going to be D.
No, I don't think so.
C, ensuring any newsworthy messages are relayed to the news media. No, your job... And it's not a job. Your activities as a ham radio operator for traffic handling are not to provide content to the news media. You can. I guess. But that really doesn't help make a good traffic handling. B, making decisions as to whether messages are worthy of relaying or delivery. I could see that could happen, but I don't think people would stay in that net very long if that was going on.
No, it's not really a good thing.
Yep. I think it's A, this would be important, passing messages exactly as received. That's my answer.
I agree.
We got A's in the chat room there.
B.
And Tom says 50 years ago, C was illegal to do. And, yeah, I know you can't directly go on the air of a broadcast station from an amateur station. Let's see. Passing messages exactly as received.
That's really important.
That is. I mean, you know, you don't paraphrase or filter out messages. You just send them through exactly like they are.
Don't reword them.
Yeah.
Don't do them to the best of your memory.
Yeah. Because that message could be passed through several stations before it eventually gets to the destination. And you don't want everybody adding... Or taking away from the message.
Don't do like the little exercise everybody did in school where you whispered something to your person next to you, and they whispered to you, and then by the time it got to the end, it was like different.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all do that?
I remember that occurring, yes.
Yeah, I remember that little exercise in school.
Are amateur station control operators ever permitted to operate outside the frequency privileges of their license class? A, no.
B, yes, but only when part of a FEMA emergency plan.
C, yes, but only when part of a RACES emergency plan.
Or D, yes, but only in situations involving the immediate safety of human life or protection of property. Are amateur station control operators ever permitted to operate outside the frequency privileges of their license class? Okay, I know what the answer to this one is, because I remember this one. And part of me wants to say no, but I think the answer is really D. Yes, but only in situations involving immediate safety of human life. Well, no, actually I do protection of property. I think it's going to be D. I'll make comment afterward, I guess. We'll have to see if I'm right.
Yeah, a little mix in the chat room on the answer to that one. It's between A and D.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just have to know the answer to this one. Right off, I would say it was A.
Yeah. No. I would think so, too, but I think it's really D.
I think you're right. And it is.
Yeah, so, but I seem to remember a guy on a Baofeng that got in trouble for doing something like that.
Recently.
Yeah, in the last few years.
Within the last year or so, there were I think, forest fires, and he was trying to send traffic on the frequency of the fire department or the sheriff's department.
That's right. That's it.
And... he got thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
And if he had done it once, he might have been okay, but I think he persisted in doing it. And they didn't go for that. He could have argued, I guess, you know, it was involving immediate safety of human life or protection of property. Because I think he was actually trying to protect a repeater site or a tower site.
Yeah.
But
I don't let the comments throw you off, though, because the answer is D.
Yep.
For your test.
Yep. It is.
But I keep thinking about that when I read this question there. I'm like, I kept thinking about that. I'm like, I want to say no, but I do remember this question and answer on my test from a long time ago. This one's been here a long time.
What information is contained in the preamble of a formal traffic message? The preamble. Okay, that would be the very start of the message.
Yeah, kind of like the header.
A, the email address of the originating station. Now, B, the address of the intended recipient. No. C, the telephone number of the addressee. No, the addressee may not have a telephone. D, information needed to track the message. I'm going to say it's D. Chat room, most of them saying D. We got one that's could be B or D. I'm going with D.
Me too. That would be like the header, the routing information.
And the reason I'm going with D is because I looked it up. What's outlined in red there, the first thing, it's the preamble, is the information to track the message. But right there, that link will take you to this document that shows you the ARRL message format and more information about it.
Yeah.
Yep. What is meant by check in a radiogram header? A, the number of words or word equivalents in the text portion of the message.
B, the call sign of the originating station.
C, a list of stations that have relayed the message.
Or D, a box on the message form that indicates the message received and or relayed. What is meant by check? I remember hearing this, so I think I may know the answer. I think it's the number of words or word equivalents in the text portion of the message, A. Because I think that's how you're going to verify, one way you're going to verify that the message hasn't changed.
Yeah.
So I went straight for the kill on that one.
You didn't fool around with it. You almost acted like someone who actually has done radiograms.
I haven't actually passed any, but I've been on nets before where other people have.
Yep. Well, everybody in the chat room, there must be a lot of net folks in there because they're all saying A. And you're right. All of you are right. Email says, make the check out to cheap.
Okay, but it's just small check.
Very small.
Just, it's only numbers are to the right of the decimal.
Yep. I think that'll work. I mean, he's very deserving of that.
Of a cheap check?
Of a cheap check, yeah. Cheap old check. We could even send him one that's already been canceled.
Send him a voided one?
Yeah, there you go. That'll work.
Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
Maybe they'll get a little tougher next week or next month. I keep wanting to say week. Sometimes it feels like it's just been a week. But.
All right. 7-3, everyone. Thanks for being here and joining us. I don't know. Email might have said something, but I didn't see the 14th of March email. That'll mean next Friday night will be the next Amateur Logic, if that works out.
Get busy.
If you want it, 14th is good, says email. All right, so it'll be this coming Friday,
all right,
the 14th.
Done deal.
We missed the 13th, but it'll come back around. 14th is almost as good.
We can still bust out the hockey mask if you want to.
May need to. We'll see. 7-3.
7-3, everybody. Good night.
you don't have to have an email address in a traffic message. Excuse me. I am getting a Charlie horse. I've got to stand up for a minute. There's your answer. See, Charlie horse.